After a mile run, an athlete needs rest. So do we after a long day at work. What's good for the body is good for the soul. The author of Hebrews tells of a rest for the people of God. If you're tired in your soul today, kick back for a while and listen as we learn about spiritual rest. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Highlights from Hebrews, and today we'll be turning to Hebrews chapter 4. In this, the third message in his series, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about good news for tired Christians.
My message today is entitled Good News for Tired Christians. There are many people who are tired because physically we are overworked. Too many things on our plate, too many expectations, too many times we take the bar and we make it a notch higher, and so we wander around until we're weary. But I'm thinking not so much of the physical aspect of weariness as I am the spiritual or psychological. For example, did you know that a lot of our energy goes to simply processing all of the anxieties that are within our hearts? And that affects our body, by the way. The anxiety that is in our hearts, the guilt, the anger, all of this lack of peace that is within our souls oftentimes spills over and it becomes the thing that causes us to grind in life and become weary and eventually experience what the experts call burnout. Somebody said burnout is emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, and reduced personal accomplishment. Leads to depression, withdrawal, anger, all of those other negative emotions. And what we really need is some rest for our souls. And that's my topic today, is rest. Now, my topic is rest, but I don't want you to begin to do too much of it until the message is over, will you remember? This week I came across this little poem that said, I never see my pastor's eyes, no matter how bright they shine. When he prays, he shuts his tight. When he speaks, he closes mine. May it never be so. May it never be so. Remember, I speak, you listen. And today we're going to end at the same time. Hebrews chapter 4 is the passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, you'll recall that in chapter 3, the author of the book of Hebrews begins a second warning passage that he gives to us in the book. First was in chapter 2, the second is in chapter 3, and he's continuing on with the theme of Israel and their unwillingness to enter into the land of rest. And so he picks it up in verse 4, and he continues that discussion in chapter 4, I should say. He continues that discussion. And if you've read chapter 4 recently, and I hope you have, as we go through this book, it is very advantageous for you to read it and to keep ahead of us. But you'll notice that there are several strands of thought that are in this chapter, and I'd like to separate them for us, and then we're going to see in the passage what is specifically for us and our great need for rest. First of all, three different kinds of rest grow out of this passage, and later on I'll comment on verses 1 and 2, so I'm going to pick it up in verse 3. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from before the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. First of all, I want you to notice he's talking about God's rest. God's rest, and that becomes a basis for all the other rests listed in this passage. Scripture says in Genesis 2 that God rested after he did his work of creation. Now, why did God rest? If there were angels already created at that time, did God say to the angels, you know, I've had a hard day. Some of you haven't even created a single molecule, and I've been creating all week. I've been throwing stars into the air, hundreds of billions of tons of matter. I've been creating the sun and the moon, and I've been creating the earth, and this is work. let me rest. Oh, it was not the rest of weariness. God was not tired after he spoke the worlds into existence. It was, first of all, the rest of completion. The scripture says that God completed his work and he rested. And it was the work of completion. It was also the rest of fulfillment. He surveyed what he had done, and lo and behold, he pronounced it very good, the Bible says. And so the Lord, like a painter who does a work and then sits back to watch it, not because he's tired, but because he wants to simply observe it, God sits back and says, what I've done is good, and he rested. Now this rest becomes the basis of the Sabbath day rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he rested on the seventh day. So that's what the author is referring to here. But you'll notice that he is also talking about another kind of rest, and he tends to weave the two together, but we are separating them, and that is the rest of the land of Canaan. You'll notice that he says in verse 3, quoting one of the Psalms, speaking of God, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And it goes back to the book of Numbers, where the children of Israel refused to enter into the land. They came to Kadesh Barnea, and having looked at all of the giants, they decided that they would not enter, and God was displeased, and he swore in his anger, you will not enter into that rest. A couple of comments about the land of Canaan and its place in God's rest. First of all, obviously, not all of the Israelites entered into it. That whole older generation died in the desert, and their bones were bleached, lying in the sand. They did not enter. But there were some who entered into the rest, but it was not a permanent rest. It was only a temporary rest. It was a rest that enabled them to plant vineyards and to own the land, but it was not permanent. In fact, now today, Israel does not have the land. And furthermore, it was a physical rest. It wasn't really a spiritual rest. In fact, it says here in verse 8, if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So Canaan was rest after a manner of speaking, but it was not really the ultimate final rest. You know, some of our hymnody is wrong here, by the way. If you remember some of the songs we sing about crossing Jordan, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I don't think we sing that song very often anymore. But the implication is that if you cross Jordan, that Jordan is death and Canaan is heaven. That's not true scripturally. Canaan isn't heaven. Can you imagine dying and going to heaven and the Lord says, well, I hope you're fit because your first challenge is Jericho. No, that's not going to happen because Canaan actually represents this life, our rest in this life, which is a rest of struggle and even a rest of work, as we shall see in a moment. And it represents our opportunity to enter into our spiritual inheritance. That's what's going on here in the text. All right, first of all, then, you have God's rest. He finished his work. He rested on the seventh day. Then you have Canaan's rest. Rest because the people were able to live there, but not a permanent rest at all. And then thirdly, you have what I now call our rest. Our rest. You'll notice it says in verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered into his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. A few comments about our rest. There are three different rests that we as Christians can enter into now. Now we're talking about us. We're not talking about the Israelites. We're not talking about God, though they become a prototype of our rest. The first is what we would like to call the rest of redemption. The rest of redemption. Just as God in heaven is finished his work, or was finished his work after the 6 days of creation, So Jesus Christ came to this earth. He suffered. He died. He was raised again from the dead. He ascended on high. He is in heaven today. Why? Resting from his work, because it is finished. And you and I have the privilege of participating in that rest with him. Here at the church, I receive letters from time to time, actually quite often, of people who want to straighten out my theology. Well, I usually read those letters because I want to learn from those who want to instruct me in the way more perfectly. But I suppose the group that I get the most letters from as a group are the folks who believe that we should be keeping the Sabbath today rather than Sunday. And I would say that a week ago I received some tracts and books and literature from some very fine people on this topic. My purpose this morning is not to solve all those questions, but to simply say that it is interesting that in the Old Testament you have a reversal of what we understand in the New because of Christ's coming. Christ is, in effect, our Sabbath rest. That's why he could even break the Sabbath if he wanted to. Notice, in the Old Testament, God worked for 6 days. Then he rested. And God said, I did it this way, you do it that way. You worked for 6 days. At the end of the 6 days, as a reward, you get to rest. You come to the New Testament, the early believers, they kept the first day of the week as special because they said, in effect, that now that Jesus Christ has come, we get our reward first. We rest before we work. We receive the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ because he did our work for us. That's the good news of the gospel.
This is Pastor Lutzer. I gave a friend of mine a copy of a book I wrote entitled How You Can Be Sure That You Will Spend Eternity with God. After he read it, he said, I realize now that Jesus did all the heavy lifting. Well, isn't that wonderful? I like the way in which he put it. And it is really true, my friend, that when it comes to the good news of the gospel, Jesus did it all. And here today, as we're talking about various subjects and good news for tired Christians, there is a rest for the people of God. And that's why it says so clearly in the book of Hebrews that we are to enter into that rest. Jesus did the work. And yes, we can rest in him. While I'm talking, I'm also reminded of the passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 33, where the Lord says to Moses, I will go with you, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Why don't you just take out some moments today and just rest, rest physically, but while you're doing that, also rest spiritually. Look into the eyes of our Savior, so to speak, and say, thank you for doing it all. Thank you for doing the hard work. Thank you that I can enter into rest because you did all of the heavy lifting. And when you learn to trust God in that way, you will work, but you'll be resting while you do.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part one of Good News for Tired Christians, the third of 6 messages in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Tomorrow, tune in for more insights on the kinds of rest available to all who belong to Christ. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss Friday's Running to Win.